This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order.
Every single person is different with eating, and you do not need to look at all of this stuff out there in the world and think that you're doing a bad job, especially when there's all this fear out there around eating and what you should put in your body and what you shouldn't put in your body. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I'm your host, Joanne Crone, joined here by the lovely Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, everybody. How are you?
Today, we're talking about food. One of my favorite topics in the entire world, because I love food, Brie. I love food.
It's very delicious. It helps keep us alive. I honestly, like, we have an episode where we talked with Erica of Momwell about, like, the values that we had from growing up with food and everything. And it's always been a reward to me. It's always been, like, a reward.
So. Yes. So why does feeding our kids have to be so damn complicated? Like, why is, like, all the advice towards moms that, oh, if you, like, implied advice, by the way, if you really cared about your family, you would take the time to cook for them. You would take the time to, like, make things from scratch and make sure they don't have these artificial flavors and gluten and, like, all these things and check these million things that they don't have. Oh, and by the way, fill this into your day. Have a full-time job and keep your sanity.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. Like, it just from watching a lot of the videos out there, I'm like, damn, I need to buy stock in mason jars. Like, I'm just nowhere near
meal prep containers.
The level I need to be. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, we'll go to the grocery store, but we'll be out shopping and I'll be like, oh my God, Miguel, what if we got these, like, little containers here? And he's like, what would we use them for? And I'm like, because then we could, like, pack lunches and stuff. And he's like, I'm the only one that takes lunch and I only take it 2 days a week. I don't think we need, like, a 12 pack of, like, meal prep.
I know. Like,
but that's what everybody's telling me I need to do. If I just did meal prep, I would be happier, I would be thinner, I would be healthier.
Exactly. Your kids would be constipated. They wouldn't have ADHD. Like, all of this rests on mom's shoulders. That's what we're going to dig into in today's episode. But before we start with today's show, can we ask a little favor? Can you go rate and review this episode on Apple Podcasts? We would so appreciate it. It helps get the word out about No Guilt Mom, really does us a solid, and also helps your fellow moms not feel so guilty about parenting, and living realistically is the goal for all. So if you can rate and review us, awesome. It'd be so awesome.
Plus, we just love hearing what you think. We love hearing your feedback about the episode because you know how hard it is to think up topics twice a week for the rest of your life? It's hard. It's not as hard as feeding your kids and feeding your family for the rest of your life with the memo that I did not sign, but we would love to hear from you guys. Please share. Please share.
So now let's get on with the show.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Okay. Oh, I get so heated about food, Brie. So heated. I think that meal planning causes me the most amount of stress of any of my mom duties whatsoever. I mean, how do you feel about this?
So, yes, I do. Like, I sighed because I'm like, how do I articulate this in a very good way? Not a good way, in a way that people will hear. So I guess what I'm going to start with is that, to me, I do see the benefits of meal planning on the end of it saves me money. Like, I have less food waste because I'm, like, being thoughtful about what we're going to eat. And that's about it on the positives. That's it.
Yeah.
The negatives.
I agree with those positives. Yeah, they're great.
Right? The negatives are, when I have to meal plan, and for everybody that doesn't know this, but most of you do know that I'm divorced and I have my kids. I do 50-50 custody with their dad, which means they spend 1 week at my house and 1 week at his house. So every other week, our meal planning completely flips on its head, because I have to include who's going to be home to eat dinner that day, because both of my kids work and have extracurricular activities, as well as what are they going to eat? Because Miguel and I like to eat, like, keto-centric kind of meals, and my kids are not so big on that. So it's really hard trying to meal plan something that everybody will eat, and then also, like, trying to make sure my kids take on the responsibility of the days that they can cook, and then trying to be thoughtful about what they want to make, but also be something that I can eat so that they learn not only, like, cooking skills, but being thoughtful of other people. And then there's just the fact that it's a lot of freaking work.
It is a lot of work.
And yeah, recently we had a week where I didn't do the meal planning. My husband did it for the whole week. It was amazing. I couldn't stop telling him thank you. Thank you, Miguel.
I felt the same way. Like, because we did it for our summit week, and, like, I had my husband take it over. You had your husband take it over. Mm-hmm. It was such relief off my shoulders. Like, I felt like I could start, like, have a full day of work. And at the end of the day, getting off of work and having dinner completely taken care of and waiting for me was just like,
this is what it feels like to be on the other side. What?
This is what it feels like to be a man. What?
I shouldn't say that, right? Again, no, we were both thinking it. This is what it's like to be a spouse of mine.
That, like, and it's like something that we think we just have to be grateful for, that we have a family to take care of, and that we, you know, have food we can serve. And I mean, it's true. Totally grateful for that. But I also think that it comes with some complications. Like you said before, will our kids eat the food we make? There is always an argument about the food, or thinking, like, the food is gross, or, like, they don't want to eat that variety of food. Yep. Or, oh my gosh, there's, like, a little spot on the strawberry. The whole bag of strawberries is now bad, and I can't touch a single one of them.
Or wait, like, here's our favorite in our house. What's that green stuff on there? It's pepper, or it's, like, chives. Nope, not touching it. Nope. I'm like, you can eat around it. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope. Not touching it.
And it's like, for people who are used to being the good girls and getting, you know, the grades in school and for doing what we're told, it doesn't work in adult life. Like, you make this great meal, you put all this effort into it, and you get nothing. You
get, like, and we understand, like, the thought, and I feel like we have to, like, give, like, a little bit of a background on this. Like, we get that if you model good eating habits, that your children are more likely to eat good meals and to eat those things with you. However, we're telling you, we modeled the crap out of things, and we still hit a wall. So, like, if you are able to model great food to your kids, and you've got, like, I have my ex-sister-in-law, girl, got, like, her her toddlers eating salad. I don't know what magic she had in that house that got them to eat salad. But I was like, how do you get a three-year-old to eat salad and ask for it and be happy? She managed to do it. And you know what? Hats off to her. Sandra, you're amazing. You're awesome. But I never managed to have that magic. And like, it didn't work in my house.
It's funny. My son loves salad.
Robert will devour it now. But not when he was three.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, I love salad. I love it. I get very excited about a good salad. It's just one of my weird proclivities. I just get really excited
at
about
home,
a good salad.
Though? Like, are you happy at home? You can make at home? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, I get to make salad. Oh, I have salad. And, like, I'm dancing here, and my husband and my daughter look over at me, and they're like, you're crazy. Like, who says that about salad? That's so weird. But my son just started eating it and he likes it too. Now, look it, I acted one way and one kid is like, hell no. And the other kid is like, yes, I'll have it. Yeah. Same mom, just different yeah. children. And so it doesn't even matter if you like model it. It's not that you haven't modeled it well enough. It's just different personalities like different things.
Exactly. Yes. And you could take that and be like, well, because again, we talk about the Bob in your head and Bob being like, well, you suck at this apparently because your kids don't want to eat anything. Oh, yeah. I hear an earful about it from certain people about my kids, especially one of my kids, how she doesn't like to eat different colors and everything. And I'm like, listen, we try our best and we support her when she does do stuff, but I refuse to tell myself that I am a crappy mom because one kid will eat stuff and the other one won't. That's just not me. Yeah. It's not my fault.
No, it's not your fault.
Take responsibility for that.
Of course. And you shouldn't. And nor should you listening right now take responsibility for your kids' eating habits, because I can tell you right now, every single person is different with eating, and you do not need to look at all of this stuff out there in the world and think that you're doing a bad job, especially when there's all this fear out there around eating and what you should put in your body and what you yeah. shouldn't put in your body and all of like the like GMO stuff. And I have something so interesting about GMO stuff too, Brie, for you. And I'll tell you right after this break.
Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Hey guys, Brie here, and let me tell you, April is a killer time of the year for me because it is crazy allergy season. I swear, everything that is in bloom looks fantastic and beautiful, but it makes it so I can't breathe. I am literally coughing, sneezing, rubbing my nose. I look like Rudolph half of the spring. It's terrible. But luckily for those of us who live with symptoms of allergies like I do, we live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can finally breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine is the best decongestant available. It relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy, watery eyes, itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I absolutely love it. It is the only allergy medicine that works for me. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just one quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
So we hear all this kind of food lingo about our food, and a lot of it is tied to parenting and what we feed our kids. It's so much taking one little thing from one little research study and trying to apply it to the whole population is what I see happening a lot in like the general media, in social media, in influencers who are like trying to like push a specific method on people. I see this in like if your child has ADHD, there's like a certain way you should eat for ADHD. And this person takes these little things and studies and then makes it into a big generality. And I just want you to make you know, like aware that this is happening in the world and this could be where your guilt is coming from. And I wanted to tell you this thing about GMOs. So let's get into this whole thing because there's a lot. There's a lot in it.
I don't even know where we're going with this. So tell me about the GMOs.
Okay. So GMOs, you know how and like people are like, don't eat genetically modified like ingredients. Yeah. Don't have anything like that.
Yeah. By the way, so my family's going to die because we do not buy organic fruits and veggies because as much as I would love to afford them, we cannot.
No. But here's the thing. So I was set straight on this when we did this tour of dairy farms in Arizona. It was like an influencer tour. And we got to meet the actual farmers and what was going on. And he's like, you know what? Like this whole thing against GMOs is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Because of like genetically modified ingredients, we are able to feed people the nutrients they need to stay alive in countries like that don't have these things. Like there's something called golden rice, where they're able to put nutrients into rice, basically, so that all these people who eat golden rice, and I can't remember the country, I don't remember it off the top of my head, just look up golden rice and you'll know what I'm talking about. These people would die of like scurvy, of like vitamin deficiency, if not to be able to feed them this genetically modified organism to get them what they need. It is GMOs that allow for like our food supply. So when we attack things blindly, like GMOs, and saying like everything is bad, it's just really not looking at the big picture here. It's not even saying that they're not even bad. It's just something that people have like stuck their little thing in and like tell everybody else what to do. Maybe it's a rebel in me that doesn't like this break.
I'm seeing some rebel side of it, but also I'm seeing is that the issue with it being used. And this is going to be heavy-handed, guys, being used in a way to weaponize guilt for us as moms for not doing everything from scratch.
Yes.
From not like, from feeling like we suck. And like, and I was telling you before we started this episode, like part of my nitpick on this whole thing is like, yeah, I'll be on TikTok, Instagram, whatever, and somebody that I follow because I know them in real life and they're a really awesome cook and everything and they're doing food prep and they're showing you this is my week-long series on food prep that you could do for your family or a meal that everybody will eat, and I watch it and the video takes 30 seconds and I'm like, oh, I could do that, forgetting that they cut out for the editing the 45 minutes it took to do all that to get the
and how long it took to get the supplies in those little dishes that they just dump in.
Yes, I make it like perfect and everything. Like my husband and I actually really enjoy cooking from scratch with each other. But that's because we have a system and we have a system of how we do it where like he does like the food prep. He'll do the washing and the chopping. And then I'm the one who actually is like reading the recipe and getting the other ingredients together and doing the actual like doing the cooking of the ingredients. But if I was trying to do all of that myself, I lose my sheets. I get upset. I get mad. It's like nobody come in the kitchen. Mom is pissed because it is so hard and so long. And your kitchen looks like crap afterwards.
It is. And it's weaponizing guilt. It's weaponizing guilt. And part of this issue is that we could make our lives easier if we were able to fully accept that it is okay to get a frozen lasagna from the store and put that in the oven for dinner.
I think it's delicious.
Like,
Yes, it's delicious. It is okay to use taco seasoning in a packet and add that to your meal. Yes. Like, you don't have to make it from scratch.
Oh, wait. Okay. Did I tell you that my sister, like, going back to lasagna, I made like frozen lasagna one day and she was like, ew, you made it from, ew. I'm like, that was not nice or supportive at all. Like,
no. Frozen lasagna, Stouffer's the bomb.
Not everybody can make delicious lasagna from scratch, Shanna. I love you, but no. Gosh.
I appreciate a good lasagna from scratch, but I also appreciate a good Stouffer's lasagna. Yes. It's very delicious.
And the mental load that it alleviates and that it takes away from you is scrumptious. Mm-hmm. It is scrumptious.
Yes. It's great. The thing that gets me so like hot and bothered about this whole thing is because I had an eating disorder and I'm still very, very like sensitive to eating issues. And I have to not regulate myself, but more like protect my brain from it. Like mm-hmm. I was bulimic in high school. It was something that I did not admit publicly probably until a few years ago. I kept very secret because I ate to conceal my emotions and I didn't deal with the emotions. But it's this whole – it's the mindset that goes with that. So when I see stuff in social media or on Instagram, I noticed that my mind was latching on to things that I thought I had to do. So for instance, like if you see like, oh, you shouldn't eat gluten and everything and here you are having these stomach problems, automatically I'm like, oh, I can't eat gluten and things. And then guess what? The amount of food choices that I have went down astronomically so that here I am thinking about food 24/7, but
yeah,
I feel like I don't have anything I can eat. And so I don't know what to eat. And so then I go overboard on the eating because I've taken myself to a point of deprivation and starvation. And I think that's very common. I don't think that that's unique to me. I see it happening actually in people I'm close to where they'll read something on Dr. Merkula's site.
I don't know but, who that is.
like don't eat gluten, don't eat this, don't eat that. And they will be so restrictive on their diet and they're here trying to quote unquote lose weight, but they're saying they have like no success in it because they're taking out all these things from their diet and then they're like, oh yeah, but then I was bad and I ate all these things. And I'm like, you weren't bad. Like your human body was just trying to survive because it was restricted for so long that it went on this other course to get the nutrients it needs. It like took things into its own hands.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything about willpower. So when you see stuff geared towards moms telling you that you should not have this, and I specifically latch on gluten because it was something that I saw over the weekend that it was about kids with ADHD and about how gluten is bad for everyone. Like they said this in the post, actually gluten is bad for everyone. And I see this and I'm immediately Googling, is gluten bad for everyone? And I find
getting flashbacks to the MMR vaccines, like when nobody would take the vaccine because they were like, it's going to cause my child to have autism. And I'm like, you know, that has been debunked. Yeah, but I still believe it. Okay.
No, right. It's really dangerous to put this information out there because when I looked up, is gluten bad for everyone? And I found an article from Harvard Medical School, which I trust Harvard Medical School. They say like, no, it's not true. Gluten is actually bad for some people. Some people's guts can't process it and it doesn't work with those people. But actually, it's really beneficial for other people because it gets them the fiber and the nutrients they need. And if they totally cut out gluten, they have no idea what to eat. And that's the thing. Like when you cut out a food ingredient, you cannot just cut out that food. You have to also gain the knowledge for what you put in its place to get the stuff you need from it. They suggest if you take gluten out of your diet, you should be working with a nutritionist so that they can suggest the alternate foods you need in your diet to replace what you are missing from that food. And that is something that does not get addressed. You think like you could just cut it out and you can be a good mom and do all those things. But actually, it's a lot more complicated than that. Yeah. So I get very upset because I'm like, these people are going to be restricting this from their diets and it, for no reason whatsoever, going to be causing themselves so much misery for no reason. And it's all this person saying you shouldn't eat it.
So at a bare minimum, what we're saying is if you feel like you saw something that's going to be a good, helpful thing for you, talk to somebody that, is an expert in that area, like mm-hmm. a nutritionist, your doctor. See if that is a positive thing to be doing. Because
even
Google it.
Like, just Google it. Like, you don't even have to go. Like, just be like, is this bad for me? What are the effects of this? Like, and you'll see.
But with that being said, I would say that when it comes to a lot of things, like if you just flat out Google it, like you are going to be able to find the information you want to find.
Oh, yeah. You have to go. You have to make sure.
Yeah.
About
like,
the source.
That's why I'm like, I kind of feel like going to a doctor or nutritionist, especially when you're talking about making major changes to diet, like you need to go and do that. Because I could, again, if I'm going to go back to my days of being home visitation and follow up and the amount of people that it was my job to help explain to them what the benefits were of vaccines, not to tell them to get a vaccine, but what the benefit was of getting immunizations for their children. And that they would tell me that they read 15 articles about how MMR was a terrible vaccine for their child. And then they would be quoting off like, you know, the Homestead Mom's blog. No. Yeah, I know you Googled it and I know you found that, but that doesn't make that person an expert because their cousin's sister's child had issues after getting a vaccination. So yeah, I'm getting flashbacks.
I know. Well, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It has to be the source. And a lot of times, like, I'll know it's a good article if I see both sides presented. And usually when I do Google something and I find like a Harvard Medical School link, I will see that viewpoint represented, but it'll be like in this amount of studies, which is like 0.03%, we saw this, but overall, it was actually good. And I think people latch on to that 0.03% and be like, it's bad. And that's not exactly how percentages work. So just be really careful when you're thinking about food in that way and you're seeing all of these advice on Instagram to like cook it from scratch. And we have a few more tips you can use to make this whole cooking for your family easier right after this.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. While you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
Okay, so now let's really get to the good part. Like, how do we make it easy? We've really stirred the pot here about everything that is going on. And I would say that my big tip for making it easy comes from my husband, which is just make it hot. That's his philosophy in cooking.
What, like when hot spicy or hot temperature?
Hot
like
temperature.
What's he got against cold sandwiches and a good salad?
Oh, he'd be fine with that too. But the amount of effort he put into meal planning that week It was, you know, just make it hot. So he would get the like burger patties and he'd put them on the grill and cook up the burger patties. And then we have burgers for dinner with like maybe a steam pack of veggies. That's it.
Yep.
Or like just get a protein. And I love Trader Joe's has these marinated meats or like even grocery stores, like buy just the marinated meat, put it on the grill. It's great. And then you just eat that and you could put it in a salad. You could put it in a burrito. You could put it in a rice bowl. Like you could put it anywhere.
Yeah.
You like put it in your car. You could put it. I feel like a Dr. Seuss novel now.
You can eat it in your car. You can eat it in a bar. I guess as far as I can think
Let's go eat it in a bar.
I don't know. But yeah, no, the same thing like at our, like, so like, it's funny you brought that up. Like recently my daughter was talking about how one of her, and this was literally like last weekend, one of her favorite meals I would make when they were little was called finger food night. And it's pretty much what it sounded like. It was all right. Whatever it is that I can make that they can eat with their fingers, that's what we had. So, and it, I think she also liked it because when they were little, I would put out a picnic blanket on the floor and we would have an indoor picnic and sit and eat finger foods. And finger food night had chicken nuggets. It had popcorn shrimp. It had mozzarella sticks. It also had carrot sticks and apple slices. And like, I think, for a while there got them eating a zucchini because I called it fried sticks. Just didn't tell them it had zucchini in it. And they loved them until someone said the word zucchini. And then, not that they had any idea what it was, but right then it was gone. The magic of it was gone. But I mean, yeah, like it's all about how, like, and that was the easiest dinner too. That was so freaking easy. I loved that dinner because it took me like 10 minutes to make, just popping everything in the microwave and it was like done. And it was a mom win. And
yeah,
I could say like a lot. I could feel a lot of judgment that would come down on me if I shared that as an expert tip on social media.
Oh my gosh. Like, I'll do it, Brie.
So awful.
We could be like expert cooking tips for your kids. Oh, I would do it.
Teach them how to order a pizza. No. You got the cheese, that's dairy. You got the tomato, that's a veggie / fruit, depending upon how you look at it. I mean, come on.
Yeah,
it all works. But I mean, yeah, like we would have sandwich night. They could have like whatever they wanted to put on a sandwich. Like you're right. It's really, you don't have to overthink it. Yes, there's something to be said about, wow, I made this amazing complicated meal. But when you put that kind of pressure on yourself for every day for 18 years, it's a lot.
It's a lot. No, it is a lot. Like I can't like, even when I saw those lunch making videos in the past about all these bento boxes things that making for kids, I was like, okay, wait, how much does it cost us for groceries? And how much is school lunch? School lunch. School lunch sounds like a great thing. It's about the same, funny. Actually.
It's funny how that is. Like one of my favorite ones, and it was a while ago. You probably remember back when we used to do the drama-free homework groups before school started. Like, there's a video of like this mom making the perfect bento box and a dad watching it. It's like a Stitch as he's like putting in the apple juice box and the Gushers pack and the and he's like, Lunchables this way. Oh, they need celery. They need something green. All right. And he grabs like a limp thing of celery and sticks it in there. All of us know that celery is going in the trash. Why are you putting that in the box? You're doing the best you can.
And it's also good, like another tip I have is have kids make their own lunches and have kids participate in the dinner process, because that really gets them eating their food in particular. Mm-hmm. Like my kids are taking a meal now each week. It's harder for me, my daughter, to take a meal on during like the school, when school's in session. Like right now it's spring break, so she'll do it. But when it's not school break, I'll be like, okay, well, we're getting a lasagna from the store. And immediately she's like, I hate lasagna. I'll just do something else. And then she makes her the food.
Sounds fantastic.
Totally works. But having kids make the meals and having them decide what is in the meals is so, so great, because then it's not you presenting this food they should eat. It's them actually having the decision. And they eat the food. They really eat their food.
They do. And I would say, like, in that case too, like if you're listening to this and you're thinking, nope, because my kid would pick like a frozen pizza and that's it, you can throw in some criteria and being like, and I don't think that's going too far, saying like, you know, okay, you can make what you want for dinner, but I do need to make sure that there's at least a fruit or vegetable.
But it's so easy to do
and
that.
They can pick whatever they want.
Frozen pizza. It's like, okay, let's just pick a fruit or vegetable. And they're like, okay, this bag of broccoli, put it in the microwave. I'll be like, done. Fine.
Fine. And if they're like, I hate veggies, I'm not going to do it. Fine. Then pick a fruit. What do you like? Because chances are good your kid will eat at least one fruit or veggie in some way, shape, or form. And you can encourage them. And like you just said, the more that they get to do it, the more that they're going to be open to the idea of other foods.
Yeah.
And it
can be as simple as taking the bowl of grapes out of the fridge and putting it on the table.
Yes. And
that's what can happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we hope that you found some reassurance in this episode that you do not have to make everything from scratch, nor do you need to listen to all of the influencers out there telling you to avoid gluten or GMOs or anything like that.
Or buy stock in mason jars just so you have enough room for all the sliced veggies and fruits. Good God.
Yeah. And just know that what you're doing, all you have to do is feed your kids. Just feed your kids. And that could be like a box of chicken nuggets. It's fine. It's okay. They will get what they need. So until next time, remember, the best mom's a happy mom. Take care of you. And we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.